podcast, Bridges of Belief, being God's presence in a hurting world by accepting all people as we are created. Together, we'll create a stronger community and a church renewed. I'm your host, Lee Trueheart. For this Bridges of Belief podcast, we're joined by Pastor Carla and our food pantry ministry team. See, I can say these things. So let's start by introducing yourselves. What's your name and how did you first get involved with the food pantry ministry?
I'm Mona Burns, team leader. And when we first came to community about 5 years ago, that's something that was really, really important for me to get involved. In my previous church, Northwest Pennsylvania, we did dinners in association with other churches in the area, but our church was always the host church. And at that time, there was Pastor Betty at Community Lutheran, and she came over for a visit, stayed for an hour, maybe it was 2 hours, and we talked about the food pantry, and that's how I got invited. It's so nice to be invited after you say this is what your interests are, and started as a volunteer.
Awesome. How about you?
Katie Jorgensen, and I got started in the pantry about a year ago, moved here and got a little settled, and then started volunteering. First thing was helping take some shelving off of the walls in one of the rooms so that they could expand the storage space. So I went and helped take shelves out, and they put new shelves in, and I kind of got involved in organizing the products. Yeah. And so then I was asked if I wanted to be a team leader to help organize even more, and we've done a lot since then.
Awesome. And go ahead and introduce yourself, even though I did.
It's just exciting to be here. I'm Pastor Carla Christopher, and I am fangirl and groupie of our food pantry ministry, and just excited to be able to see faith lived out in such an important way that has a lot of personal relevance to me.
Awesome. Thank you.
I would like to say that we are missing a team member, Susan Kaiser. She has some parental health care issues with her parents, and that's where she is today. She's taking care of family.
And that's ministry in itself. Can you give our listeners a quick snapshot of the mission of the food pantry ministry?
Real quick. We do not want anyone, adult, child, going to bed hungry.
Wow.
No one goes hungry if we can help.
And we try to provide food with dignity to people who need it.
Wow, that's great. I like that dignity part. On a practical level, how does a typical Tuesday at the food pantry unfold from setup to shopping?
So I'm usually the first one there around 8 o'clock or so, and I start moving tables and chairs and getting the room set up for our shopping setup. And people start arriving 8:15 to 8:30. They start coming and helping, grabbing carts, grabbing product, and we set up the Luther Hall like a kind of a mini store with different products throughout the room. People start grabbing into the air usually about setup. We do a short devotion and prayer. And then we invite our personal shoppers to work with the clients to go through and shop the area. They get to pick out all of the products that they feel they would most likely use for their family for the 2 weeks.
Okay.
So we start off with personal care items.
Okay.
And because of a conversation with Pastor Carla in the past, we've added one or two items to our regular rotation. And then go into canned goods. From canned goods, we go into quick meals, okay. Chef Boyardee's, sure. and like to pastas and sauces, breakfast items, produce, and bakery items.
Awesome.
And then the frozen.
Ah, the frozen. All the meat. We do give chickens and pork and different fishes. Better have hot dogs or our families will not be happy.
So how do you keep them frozen while they're out there, out in the...
We have coolers.
Okay.
So when I came on board, we were operating out of a small room with a refrigerator freezer. In these past 5 years, we have dedicated that particular small room to our refrigerator frozen sections. I think there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 refrigerator freezer units there now. And when Katie was saying that she was taking shelves off the wall, that's another office. It was the admin office. It's now pantry 2. And that's where all the canned goods, the cereals, all the food is stored.
Sure.
And then Pastor Carla said to, or Pastor Karis said to us, you know, I really don't need an office. And we turned that into pantry 3, where the personal care items are. Toilet paper, paper towels, bar soap, laundry soap, dish soap, personal care items. We've recently added razors and sanitary pads for the young ladies.
Oh, that's good. And soon it'll be the sanctuary's pantry for no.
No. Easter, we took over the sanctuary. Easter, we decided to give away, to give all the children who came to us an Easter basket. That's where we set up the Easter baskets.
Yeah.
And so parents could come in. The candy was already in the Easter basket, but we had a couple of members of community decide that children needed a toy also. And they went out and got toys.
Wow.
Every child, if they didn't get a basket, they at least got a toy. And that was in the sanctuary.
Yeah. That's so cool. What a wonderful giving natures that is. What are some of the biggest challenges you've encountered, and how do you face them as a team?
Food delivery can be a challenge. Six, 7 months ago, we became agency partners with the food bank. This is where we're getting a lot of our meat from. It's where we get most of our food from. So it is a challenge to place orders, schedule that order to be delivered, and then have a team of people who are willing to come and receive that order, unpack it, and get it organized and put away. Sometimes there have been a snowstorm where... an order was coming in on Monday. The snowstorm happened. Tuesday was food pantry. We were kind of sparsely prepared. But God is watching over us, and he made sure that that pantry, we had enough food to give people protein, canned goods, some personal care items. Nobody went without. We didn't turn anyone away.
Wow, wonderful. Yeah.
Sometimes it's the space, just trying to have enough space for the things that we can get. Because a lot of the things from the food bank are free. We don't have to pay for them. So it's easy to think, oh, well, it would be really nice to get all this frozen meat and all the frozen fruit that we could get. And then we're also right now experiencing the produce, because the food bank is getting produce in and it's perishable. So they need to get it back out to our partners. But we don't have the storage, the cold storage for it to stay good. So we received an order that they sent us that we weren't expecting with tomatoes, and we couldn't hold them for a week without them going bad. So we ended up with some spoilage, and a lot of hands had to get dirty to get rid of that.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, definitely.
But I think we're now on kind of on that track with them. We communicated with them, let them know our pantries only happen every other week, basically.
Yeah.
This is the week we need our produce. So Monday, hopefully, we'll get our next produce and distribute.
Yeah. We even have the drivers from the food pantry, the food bank, watching out for us. Wow. We had a driver tell us, if you need fruit on Tuesday, I'll make sure you get it. Well, we got an email from the food bank saying that they couldn't deliver it for a week past that pantry. And got a phone call from the driver, and he said, I'm coming today with your produce. Aww. I'll be there in an hour.
Yeah, and we had canceled the order with the food bank because we couldn't take that order, but he still came with two pallets of fruit.
How wonderful.
And vegetables so that we could distribute it the next day.
That's really cool.
You know, it's amazing the people in our community who are willing to go that extra mile to make sure someone has food on their table.
Definitely.
This past week, I got a phone call from a volunteer, and she's also a member, but she was working at another church in their kitchen, and they had too much produce. They wanted to move it. So I made a few phone calls, went and got the produce. This all happened in about 45 minutes. Got the produce. The other call found a place for me to take the produce to. Got that to one of our family members, and they said they will distribute it. They will take it to their church. That produce was on dinner plates that night.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah.
Yes.
Connections.
No. Building those bridges.
Yeah.
I think one of the hardest challenges to observe just in the last few weeks has been the safety of the people that participate and that have needs of the food that the pantry provides. Recognizing that there's also challenges around transportation. How do I get there? Yeah. If I don't have a vehicle, if I don't have access to a shuttle or to a ride, how do I get access to the food that my family needs? If I don't have childcare and I don't have help to make sure that people who need to be at home, if I'm caring for parents, if I'm caring for folks with disabilities, injuries, or aging, how can I get out to get to that food? And recognizing that just it's not necessarily a safe time for folks that speak languages other than English, for folks that are from different countries, for folks that may be experiencing legal challenges, accessing just basic human rights, basic human needs has become something that doesn't feel safe. And so navigating that, and we're doing everything we can. The team has been amazing with how do we meet people where they are and how do we find those folks. And that's actually been some of the most beautiful stories I've seen, that in the middle of a totally different church meeting on the security system in the Keys, in will come a volunteer who got out of their car, out of their home, out of their bed because someone was in need of food and they were out. And they will come and make sure that the church is open, even if it's not a food pantry day. That people who are not necessarily trained and super experienced with the food pantry and feeling totally comfortable, when someone says, I'm in need of something after church, will find a pantry volunteer who will help. That no one, and I have seen multiple people just in a few weeks that have come to the church and said, I'm hungry. And that people have found a way to put together that bag of food, to put together the resources to make sure that they could get the food. I've seen people load food up in their cars, fill the van, and take it to the parking lot behind the community center, take it to another church, take it to a housing facility or a place in a factory where a lot of people are working. The food has been getting to people that came with a need, even when it was not convenient, easy, or pre-planned.
Sure.
And that's stunningly beautiful to watch, especially when it's marginalized or vulnerable people who are not able to access our regular pantry system because of very real fear.
Right.
Yeah. We had a visitor come to a meeting this week, one of your meetings, and it was a member of another church who does a food pantry, and they were curious about how we do our pantry. They have a small operation, and even with that beautiful woman, she walked out of our pantry with a case of carrots. Anything we can do to help even another pantry.
Sure, absolutely, because it's the same
work their mission.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Awesome. That's beautiful. Now, this is where I think hearts are really touched, is in the stories. Could you share a moment or a story that you kind of like what you just did that reminded you why this ministry matters?
My favorite story is a couple years ago, we had an older gentleman come to us, very, very, very thin. And he did his little paperwork. It's really minor paperwork that the food bank wants from us. Came in, I was his personal shopper, and he was timid. Can I get a can of beans? You want beans? You can take 3 cans of beans. How about some corn? How about some SpaghettiOs? How about some ramen noodles? Let's get you some bread. And he was so overwhelmed, but still timid about asking for food. Sure. By the second time he came, he was comfortable, and he walked in and he was like, I want that, and I want that, and I want that. I think our families are very confident that we're going to be there on that Tuesday.
Yeah.
That there's no questions. There's, hi, how are you? I'm glad you're here. Tell me about what happened with your mom last week. And conversations our personal shoppers are having. There's no fear when they get to us.
Sure.
The transition from getting to from their house to us might be a challenge now, but they're confident with us.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Well, my story is just really short, but it involves just a little child that was coming through. I think school was just out, and so he was with his mom as they were going through, and he saw the Vienna sausages on the table. Saw those, and he pointed and he looked at his mom, and she's like, yeah, you can have one. And so he picked that up off the table and he held that in his hands the whole way through. He just, like, he had a prized possession and it was his.
Yeah.
And it was just sweet to see the smile on his face and how he felt like he got something special.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That is so cool. It's the little ones like that. That's amazing.
The kids are one of my favorite parts of watching the pantry too, because you can tell where there is trust by watching parents and children and how they interact. And the very first time I was at the pantry, seeing families come in, and there was a particular family that had a couple of kids who went right over to their little children's table and started coloring. This was not a place they were being allowed to come in for a specific task. This was their place. They felt comfortable. They felt safe. They felt known. They were able to be themselves. They didn't feel they had to be on guard, and they didn't feel they had to cling to their safe person, their parent, mm-hmm. their guardian, because the room was filled with people they felt safe with. They could be across a large room without any anxiousness, knowing that they had a space that they felt comfortable navigating. And that, to me, spoke so clearly of an environment that's built over time with repeated safety, trust, interaction. That's a child who's seen their parent feel comfortable and safe, so they know they can take their cues that way. And to know that parents who do not always feel safe, who are often not well-treated, feel safe enough when they come to the pantry to let their kids run around the room and go over and color and go say hi to their favorite volunteers. That, to me, is the transformative difference between this food pantry, this ministry, and the food pantries that, quite frankly, I grew up going to, the food pantries that I have volunteered in exchange for getting food, and also the food pantries that once I became a pastor, I was often a part of, which is that commitment to dignity. You're not a service project when you walk through right. the door. Mm-hmm. You're a real person. You have choices, you have options, you're treated with respect, you're thanked, you're asked what you want. And seeing just adults walk through the room making choices, having their own cart, having someone with them as a personal shopper who they were chatting with and asking questions of, as mm-hmm. opposed to asking mm-hmm. permission from, right. was a totally different dynamic than I've ever seen before. And it was so emotional for me. I had to step out of the room for a minute the first time that I saw people shopping and having a joyful, relaxed experience being fed.
Wow. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's awesome what's been built. It's easy to think of a pantry as just giving out groceries, but obviously it's so much more. How do you see this working, this work building or transforming lives? You've already told the two stories, but what else? Mm-hmm.
Well, we've created an ESL class kind of out of the food pantry because we know okay. a lot of the speakers are Spanish speakers, but they want to be able to communicate. Mm-hmm. And so we started offering ESL classes. Mm-hmm. And some of the pantry volunteers attend the classes to learn more Spanish yeah. so that they can help
it didn't work.
It did not work. We still got our Duolingo and our group chat. We're going to get that Spanish one of these days.
But some of the people that come then have another connection to mm-hmm. the community and have, you know, that extra bridge that they can use to.
Yeah. And if you're there in the church mm-hmm. or you're driving by the church and you see cars, we are always going to give you food.
Yeah.
We just don't have to stick to those Tuesdays. Mm-hmm. If you're in need, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We'll get you some food.
Yeah. We were waiting for a truck to come one day that actually didn't come that day. And I think we had three people that pulled into the lot over the course of like an hour or so, thinking it's a Tuesday, so it's a pantry day. And not realizing that we're not open every Tuesday. So,
yeah.
But they came to the door, and I think two or three of the people came in, and we made sure they had food going out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
One of them did say, oh, no, that's fine. We'll wait. But it was, you know, heartening that they felt comfortable enough to come and sure. ask. And
yeah. So with the ESL class, one of our students and family participants came through the line, and she was speaking Spanish, and I looked at her and she looked at me and I said, English. She laughed. She spoke English like it was her second language, but it was great. She had no trouble speaking English. We giggled at each other and said, it's the relationships you build.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's not just transforming other lives, it's transforming yours as well.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes, I've said so many times that I am getting way more than I'm giving.
That's wonderful.
Even meeting with some of the other partner agencies in the area who are also doing ESL classes and who are also distributing food, learning so much more about the lives of the people who live in this area. I would say the one thing that I've heard the most from volunteers and from participants in the teams as I've talked to them is that they feel they have gotten so much more out of the relationships, learning about the community, growing in empathy, understanding the gospel, understanding why Jesus calls us to service, to community, why feeding is a ministry that is emphasized so frequently throughout all these incredible stories in the gospel, because providing and sharing with someone something so essential to life absolutely reinforces that we are all human. That even when we come from different areas, cultures, countries, we might eat different foods, we might prepare it differently, we might speak in different languages, but we all have these things in common. We have these needs in common. Mm-hmm. And the growth in a sense of connection and empathy and a desire to help, a desire to learn, has been something that dozens of people have shared with me that they didn't necessarily have that understanding until they started doing the work and observing the work happening in their congregation. And now they're like, how have I been missing so much in the wider world? My eyes have now been opened. And it's changing not just how people are in church, in the pantry, but who they are in their neighborhoods, their workplaces, their communities.
Wow, that's powerful. Let's talk about the spiritual side. How does this ministry reflect the teachings of Jesus or the mission of the church?
The one parable that I think really directly connects us is Matthew 14, and it's when Jesus fed the multitudes with the loaves and the fishes. Mm-hmm. Everyone was fed. Everyone was satisfied. He didn't ask if you could afford, if you could pay, just feed. And it is such a sense of abundance and respect and empathy. I think that's that for me, that parable is so ingrained in how I feel about what we're doing.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking about how much we have grown in the past year, from one small little room and a couple of fridges to having a room full of fridges and freezers and a room full of food that we can't even necessarily fit on all the shelves we have. Mm-hmm. And then a room with personal care items, and how, you know, we started out as small, and to those who are faithful and given a little, if they are faithful with that, more will be given. And how we've been able to grow the pantry and be able to give more stuff to people. They're not just leaving with a box and a bag. They're leaving with, I'm not even really sure how much,
but bags.
It bags, takes a large cart to get them out to their car with the amount of stuff that they get. And
we are full service. We have volunteers who will take the food out to your car and put it in your trunk. I mean, we have people who want to do these kinds of things. That's a blessing all of itself.
Are they on call for when I go shopping?
No.
No, I think about even communion, right? Our basic means of grace as Lutherans, that this is how Jesus showed love and built relationship with his closest friends and with those who were being sent out to be the church in the world, was gathering around a meal. That there is a unity that is created. There's a sense of our common humanity that's created when we are able to eat together, when those basic needs are thoughtfully provided for. So even before his own crucifixion, Jesus made sure that the disciples were fed, that they ate, that they had a chance to rest, be in community, and share a meal, because there is healing in that. So it's not just providing sustenance, it's providing people with the ability to gather around a table with their families, with their friends, to have that nourishment that comes from eating together, being in community, being a fulfilled, satisfied, safe family in your space, and being united around table, which we know feeds our souls when we do it every Sunday, to be able to share that gift for folks to be fulfilled and healed and restored, renewed in that way. And I also come back always to the references to hospitality in Old and New Testament over and over again. And that when Jesus affirms that when you do this for another, you do this to me. When you feed the hungry, when you clothe the naked, when you heal the sick, when you share kindness and you show hospitality, when you provide for the basic needs of someone who is without, our God is a God of abundance who believes in providing for our needs. And part of the way that God provides for our needs is through other people. We are doing the work of Christ in the world, the work that Christ did when he was here, the work the apostles did as they traveled in the church, the work that the church is called to do. This is core. This is absolutely core. Absolutely. The Bible is not good news to a hungry person. Food is good news to a hungry person. And then when able to focus on the teaching and the classes and the words, there is the ability, because now there is this sense of trust and relationship and understanding. And we don't feed people to convert them. But we know that whatever they are called to do, who they are called to be, how God is working in their lives, if they are struggling with the basic need of hunger, then whatever spiritual gifts they have are not going to be able to play themselves out, because they just need fed first.
Right.
So what amazing things are happening in the world that we'll never even see, we'll never know. But when people's basic needs are met, they're able to be on their journey to do those good things. And that we have done what Jesus said, you do this for me when you do this for one of mine. That's our only call.
That's amazing.
That's beautiful. Yes.
Thank you. Are there any other particular scriptures of faith, principles that guide the team as they work?
I don't know if I've thought about that. Help us out, Pastor Carla.
I always have found it entertaining, because a lot of people do not think about Jesus' first miracle when they think about feeding ministry. But Jesus' very first public miracle was the wedding at Cana, when here's Jesus at a party with family, with friends, and it's his mama that says, now, Jesus, come over here. You know that you can do this. Jesus did not volunteer. Jesus did not even want to do it. Jesus
was says,
like,
Mom, not
I'm
yet.
Not ready. It's not time yet. And his mother said, you fix that wine situation. And Jesus did. The remembrance that it is not just about the bare minimum. Nobody would have called off the wedding. There would not have been social or economic collapse if there wasn't enough good wine. But our God is not just a God of barely enough, of basic survival, of subsistence. Our God is a God of abundance that calls us to joy, that calls us to community, that calls us to celebration. And so it wasn't just, here's your hard tack. for your wedding celebration. It was, you know what? You are created in love and for life. And I'm here and I've got the ability, full dignity, no embarrassment, nobody teasing you. Have the good wine. Let people really celebrate with you. And that to me is very much core to how our food pantry runs, that it is not just about making people work to be grateful for the minimum.
Sure.
It is, how much can we give you? How can we make sure that you have enough for the next 2 weeks? Not just, here's a couple days, find three other food pantries to go to, along with trying to work, and along with navigating transportation, and along with caring for children. We are not operating from a scarcity mentality. And that's part of the inspiration of the team, that things keep coming and showing up, that when we think we're not going to have enough food, the food is there, that when we think we're not going to have enough volunteers, new volunteers come through the door. Mm-hmm. When we're not sure how we're going to be able to move things, extra hands happen, new storage places appear, a refrigerator is donated.
Another cart is donated. And
this is a ministry about trusting God's abundance and that God provides. And it strengthens not just the faith of the folks who are grateful to receive that generosity and that companionship and that solidarity from their church family, but it's about us strengthening and practicing as volunteers what trusting God to show up really looks like, and being wowed by the magnificence of God's generosity every time.
He does wow me. Sometimes I worry, but he has never failed.
Like the last Monday that we got the produce trucks. I sat on Sunday when we went to buy some of the produce, get some potatoes and onions, which we have extra of because we weren't expecting the truck. But I said, just watch. We're going to get pallets of produce tomorrow. And she called. Yay! They called. We're coming.
Yes.
And I think it was 20 cases of oranges came that day, along with tomatoes.
And grapes.
Grapes, peaches.
And, yeah, plums.
Plums, yes. Yeah. So everybody left with a lot of oranges.
I truly believe that God has his eyes on what we call Community Lutheran. I feel that. I know that.
That's awesome.
So, you know, when I first started to be a team leader, I'd be awake at night worrying. I don't worry anymore.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yes, God.
Yeah.
Like the abundance of when Simon and his brother were fishing.
Yes.
When they first met Jesus, that abundance, they're like, yeah, right, okay.
Yeah, sure. I'll go put my my nets in.
Yeah.
And they almost sank.
Changes the vision.
Yes.
Behind every good ministry is a network of support. What kind of help do you need the most in volunteers, donations, prayers?
Always prayers.
All of them.
Always prayers. Sometimes, you know, it gets a little difficult to do it one more time.
Sure.
But it's the prayers help. You get out of bed and say, let's go. Let's get this done.
Yeah.
Volunteers, if you feel that you want to volunteer, come on.
Open arms. And there's no sign up. There's no commitment. I find it amazing that people just show up. And sometimes they'll have other things to do and we'll fill in with somebody else. And people have kind of their special areas they like to take care of a lot of times. Mm-hmm. But other people can move into those spots.
We've had, when we were starting to grow, and the Spanish-speaking community found us. It was one of those, oh my goodness, we don't speak Spanish. Let me start asking people if they were willing, if they were bilingual. We found a school teacher who is not a member of the church, yes, I can come and I can fill that role for you. We have another volunteer who is one of our pantry families. She's bilingual. She comes, she sits at a registration desk making sure that the English speaking and the Spanish speaking totally understand what's going on, what's happening. We had a couple weeks ago a personal shopper come up to me and say, you know, my sister is bilingual, Spanish speaking. You want me to give her a call? And I said, absolutely. Well, when would you like her to come? If she can come now, that would be great. And she did.
Oh, wow.
And she did. Yeah. She jumped right in.
That's amazing.
It is amazing.
If someone's listening right now, thinking maybe I could help, what would you say to them?
Yes, you can.
Yeah. That's easy.
And we can always take donations of food, and if somebody likes to go shopping, we are kind of looking for some people that like to go and look for bargains and get some of the items we can't get from the food bank that we use on a regular basis at a good price, because otherwise it gets pricey.
That's a sub-ministry that we know we have to engage more in, get that up and running. We do have a team member who is willing to take that on, but it's being kind of slow on the uptake. But it's a lot of work going out and buying those extra items that the food bank doesn't provide. Mostly the personal care items.
Trying to find 60 tubs of or jugs of laundry detergent.
Yes.
Each every other week.
It yes.
gets to be a yes. struggle, because not a lot of places will carry that much.
Right.
So you have to go from place to place to place and try to find, not just, you know, we're not looking for the big giant jugs, but we're looking for
right.
price yeah. points and right. and mm-hmm. stuff. So
a yeah. lot of people don't realize that even when you are able to receive some level of state assistance, that when you are able to have access to wonderful food pantries and food bank partners, that there's a lot of things that you need that are not edible. So sure. things, simple things like can openers
right.
for people that have minimal support in their kitchens, that might even be unhoused, and you're using food pantry food to eat, not everything has a pop top.
Right.
And so having a can opener that doesn't require electricity is very important. Having basic body care, and sometimes the soap, even like the washcloths that right. are disposable, are wonderful with folks who are unhoused or housing insecure, whose water may be turned off, who may
sure.
be in campsites or tent villages, feminine hygiene products, and adult underwear for folks with incontinence issues.
Okay.
All of these are things that are absolutely necessary for healthy, hygienic living that okay. are not available to be purchased with food stamps, and that are not able to be purchased in the numbers they're needed from food pantries or partners.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of folks also don't realize that when they give donations, how important it is to honor the dignity of individuals. Food that is opened, that's half consumed, that is mm-hmm. expired, is not
yeah.
helpful or faithful. If we wouldn't give
yes.
it to Jesus, we're not giving it to our people. And recognizing too, that it's not just the dignity of the food, that it's something that is useful for
mm-hmm.
folks to be able to use. Being thoughtful that if it requires eggs and oil and milk and multiple supplemental ingredients, that may be very challenging for people to cook.
Mm-hmm.
So
sure.
are we giving things that people can actually use, as opposed to just what we found in the back of our pantry?
Right.
That hospitality, this is intentional giving for folks who we know deserve to be treated as honored guests with a sense of dignity.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What's next for the food pantry ministry? Are there any upcoming goals or events we should know about?
We have the two major events during the year that are really sponsored by Mount Air Farms. They do feeding for thousands.
Okay.
And Thanksgiving and Easter, they put boxes together, which is a meal for a family. And we are beneficiaries of those boxes. I can get the last time about 65 boxes. That's under what we would normally need, but we create enough with what we have to sure. make sure that everyone gets a holiday meal.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. So those are the two big events. Mm-hmm. The rest of it's just day to day.
Yeah. And one thing that the food bank brought up to us recently was, do we have somebody that is willing to help with SNAP benefits? Some pantry agencies will have somebody there with paperwork to help people mm-hmm. fill that out if they need it. We have not done that, as far as I know.
Yeah, we have not done that.
But it would probably take an extra person, probably bilingual, to mm-hmm. help people through that process. So if there's somebody out there that says, that sounds like my calling, I want to help people that can.
The food bank approached us this past week with that. And they will help us train and get set up to do that.
Wow.
We just need to figure out how that would work with our setup. I would love to do that, but that was just given birth to.
Yes. So we were haven't even really talked about it that much, but it was one of the things that we could potentially do. The food bank does offer a lot of support items, nutritional counseling. They can do programs for us. They have recipes on their website. We've done a little bit of, try out. Well, here's some protein balls that we can make with things that we have in the pantry that people can take with them. Met with some,
the big thing that we tried to do one time that was so much fun for us, we had these fish sticks from the pantry. And I know, we can't cook at our pantry, but we didn't cook, we heated. Fish sticks. And people would come by and go, oh, I don't think so. But they looked good.
Yeah.
So they would take a bite of these fish sticks, give some to their kids. And it was like, I'd like a bag of fish sticks. And now we can't keep fish sticks in stock.
And for a while we weren't able to get them. We were able to get the fillets and we were able to get catfish, but they kept asking, do you have any fish sticks? So we got them in stock right now.
Yeah.
So as long as
we can. So but that SNAP program is another one of those things that we would like to launch.
Sure.
But opportunity just came up. So we need to investigate that one.
Mm-hmm. Opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I was just having a conversation about the fact that my dad always said, you never know whether they're supposed to be for you or not until you look at them. You can say yes, you can say no, but you can't until you look at it.
Until you look at it.
That's good. Mm-hmm. What are your hopes for how this ministry continues to grow?
I hope that this ministry doesn't grow. I hope this ministry eventually is not needed. I hope that people are able to feed themselves. In this country of abundance, I certainly hope that someday we're not necessary.
Right.
That's an amazing prayer. Yes, right there.
But in the meantime,
But in the meantime,
hoping to reduce touches on product, because the way we set up, we have to bring all the product out of storage onto tables and then put product back. We have to take in deliveries and put them on the shelves in storage before they can go out. And then, you know, being the ideal vision would be having a building where we can just set it up like a store. It's ready to go. Couple of volunteers to man the stations and just take people around to go shopping as needed, or on possibly more days than just 2 days a month.
Sure.
Yeah. To allow for that sort of thing. But we wouldn't want to have to invest money that can go to feeding people into a building. So it would have to be a God-given opportunity that we can't refuse.
And that gives a different meaning to Godfather.
Yes, it does.
Before we close, I'd love to hear your personal take. What has this experience taught you about service or about yourself?
Well, like I said before, I get so much more than I'm giving. I learned a long time ago that as a teenager, I was not the most empathetic, compassionate person in the world. It hit me really hard when my mother said that to me. And I've strived to fix that. And I think I'm on the right path to becoming empathetic and compassionate.
And for me, it's trusting in God's abundance that, you know, being faithful with a little, you'll be given more. And we have been able to provide a lot more, and then trusting in people's sense of worth when they're treated with dignity. We'll sometimes get donations of very large jars of peanut butter, and thinking, okay, the first two people going through this line are going to get these big jars, and we'll have 10, 15 people go through the line, and those jars are still there. They're either choosing not to take any peanut butter because I have some in my pantry at home, it's fine. Or they know they're not going to need that much, so they'll take the smaller jars. And so trusting people that they will take what they need and not saying, okay, well, you're not a big family, you don't need that. Or you can't have this, sure. Or you need to choose this or this. It's if you need it, we want to provide it for you. So trying to trust that God will provide those things for them that they need, and that we will have it available, and then let them make those decisions.
Yeah, make their own decisions.
Right. I mean, the first time somebody comes through the pantry, a lot of times they're taking the maximum of everything, and then they come back and they're like, "Oh, well, I don't need that," and "Well, I don't need that this week."
Right,
and
yeah.
People will pass by whole areas and not take anything, but they get to the section, well, I do need milk and I need eggs and I want produce. Yeah. You know, that's, you know, so that's what they want. And they'll leave the rest for other people. And so that's been a really heartening thing to see that it's
there
not...
was a lady at Thanksgiving. So we also give turkeys at Thanksgiving. We have a community that is one of their fundraising opportunities in that community, and they buy turkeys for us. I had walked outside, and a woman came up to me and said, "I want to give you this turkey back." And I said, "Are you sure?" And she said, "I've never cooked a turkey in my life. I won't cook this one. But if I could get some more chicken thighs instead, I'd be much happier." Instantly swapped them out.
Sure.
She felt free enough to say, "I don't want that. I won't use it. Can I get something else?" Absolutely.
And that means they're being good stewards as well. And
yes.
And stuff. And even like going back to the peanut butter, is the fact that given much, they know what they need. And that's being a good yeah. steward of their own.
Yeah. It's rewarding. Mm.
Absolutely. Yes.
If you want to be rewarded, come join us.
What's the one thing you hope listeners will take away from this conversation?
We didn't giggle very much at this conversation, but we do have fun. We do laugh. We keep it light. If you have an idea that you think, can we implement this? Can we give it a try? We will take your ideas and we'll try them out. If they don't work, they don't work. Maybe they're a huge success. Just because we are team leaders, we're not the boss. Everyone has an equal voice mm-hmm. in what we're doing.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I would love if people took away from a pastoral perspective, a celebration of how God shows up in different places, spaces, and ways than we might expect. That sometimes the place we will encounter God most clearly and beautifully is not Sunday morning. It may be on a Tuesday afternoon. And to be open to God calling you and God speaking to you. And that you have something valuable to do God's work in the world. And it might not mm-hmm. be showing up on a Sunday morning and playing the organ or preaching from the pulpit or making a mega massive donation. That's one thing that is beautiful about this ministry. There are folks who are part of unloading trucks and moving tables and chairs, and they're given the gift of muscle. But there are plenty of folks who are just people persons, and they're personal shoppers, and they're helping support and talk to people. Folks that check in with the kids and play with the kids and just mm-hmm. help color with them. Sure. There are folks that are shoppers on off times. There's people that go out and collect the personal items or get donations, help write grants. There's folks that can, if you want to just come and co-work at the church and wait for the delivery truck and let people know when the delivery truck comes, then, you know, you can do that as well. Whatever your gifts, your talents, your abilities, there is a place for you to not just be part of the ministry, but to be a valuable, needed, significant contributor to making the world a little bit warmer and more loving of a place through the gifts that you have to offer.
That's amazing. Wonderful. Yeah. Well, thank you to our food pantry ministry, minus one, unfortunately, for joining us today for all the work you do in love and faith. If you'd like to support or join the ministry, reach out through visiting our website talking to any of our team members on a Sunday, Tuesday, or Friday, depending. Before I close the session out, are there any words of wisdom or encouragement you'd like to impart?
I have no wisdom, I'm fresh out. But encouragement, you can do this. If I can do it, you can do it.
Exactly.
And if Katie can do a podcast again, she can. Anybody can.
Yes.
I invite you to come visit us, join an event, or share the podcast. If you've been searching for a place where you belong, we'd love to welcome you to our worship with us at Community Lutheran Church, 30897 Omar Road in Frankfurt. Or you can find us online, https://bridgebuilder.church. Whether it's in person or online for the 8:45 or the 10:30 service on Sundays, with a small group or just a cup of coffee, there's a spot for you. We'll see you on the next episode. Thanks for joining us.